Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
This church year has been hard. It really hit me last Sunday when I was here for Art Judge's memorial service. We are grieving so much. We are in a very different world than when we all came together last fall at the beginning of the church year. And many of the people who were here with us in the pews or in the Zoom room are gone. Early in my chaplaincy training, I learned the phrase, grief touches grief, which is the concept that each new loss reminds us of past losses. Grief compounds over time, and our response to a new loss is shaped by how we survived what came before. One of the ways that I've learned to cope with losing someone I love is to think about how I can keep their legacy alive. When I read an obituary, I always look to the end to where it says, in lieu of flowers, please donate too. Here at Arlington Street, beloved members have asked us to support research to find a cure to Parkinson's and cancer, organizations that help local artists and map the galaxies, programs for environmental conservation and LGBTQ youth. Each of these, in lieu of flowers, ask us to remember what mattered to the person we lost. By donating or simply learning more about what they cared about, we help to keep their legacy alive. Also, some of our members' obituaries this year read, in lieu of flowers, please give to Arlington Street Church. Seeing this meant a lot to me, especially this year. Our members died believing in us that we will get through this difficult time and whatever lies ahead. So what else can we do to keep their legacy alive? I've got a couple ideas. We keep ringing the bells. We make time to talk to each other about our nerdiest, most niche interests. We appreciate beauty, art, poetry, and a very well-crafted order of service. We welcome people as their fullest selves, calling them by their true names and pronouns. As I stand here today, there is one story of legacy from a past member of Arlington Street Church that I keep coming back to. I'd like to share some of Reverend Best's first sermon as our intern minister in 2015. Here it is. Robert Holler, or Bob as he was called, was born during the Great Depression and grew up wicked smart and desperately poor in Boston's South End. By the time he was a teenager, his father's alcoholism had torn apart the family and forced Bob to be the breadwinner, hawking newspapers on Mass Ave. It was around this time that Bob joined the youth group at Arlington Street Church. This community took him in and ignited his lifelong passion for social justice. When he was 34 years old, Bob was named the first lay minister at Arlington Street. He stood in this very spot and stirred the congregation in action on civil rights and ending the war in Vietnam. He marched on Selma in 1965 and later raised the funds that allowed his best friend, filmmaker Henry Hampton, to produce the iconic Eyes on the Prize documentary series. In 1969, Bob staged a sit-in and a hunger strike at the headquarters of the Unitarian Universalist Association to protest investments in companies doing business with the Defense Department. 6 days later, the association agreed to divest almost $1 million of war-tainted assets from their portfolio. In introducing herself to us, Reverend Beth had to remind us of Bob. Reverend Beth met Bob 25 years ago when she moved to Boston to go to graduate school, and she was assigned to be his intern. She learned so much from Bob about social movements, politics, and leadership, but his greatest gift was introducing her to Unitarian Universalism. She said, "Before Bob, I didn't know Unitarian Universalists existed, and that I was one of them." Beth shared how she would always remember Bob's face that day he walked her through our great doors, how his eyes lit up and he was so excited for what she was about to experience. Bob didn't live to see Beth preach from this pulpit or hear us calling her Reverend Beth. He died in 2011, and it was at his memorial service in this sanctuary that Beth decided to go back to school to become a minister. I like to think somehow he knows that he's here too. And if there was anyone who would ask us to give more than flowers, I think it's Bob. Bob helped us become the church where someone like Beth could join our community and grow into the wonderful minister she is today, who has given us so much. Grief touches grief, but so too does joy touch joy. And whenever we lose someone, we keep the joy they brought us alive by honoring their spirit, their values, and all that they taught us. Bob's legacy lives on in Beth, and Beth's legacy lives in all of us. We can continue to be a church that invites those who enter to a fuller life, a rich history of social change, and a greater love. In lieu of flowers, we have so much to give.
My first ever Unitarian Universalist service was a flower communion. I was a college student in Milwaukee and renting a room from a professor and her wife, and they invited me to church. I didn't really want to go to church. I was pretty angry at religion at that point, but I didn't want to be rude. And I was curious, what church was this lesbian couple going to anyways? "Wear whatever you want," Lisa said. "Help me remember to bring the flowers," Kirsten called. As I entered First Unitarian Universalist Society of Milwaukee, I realized almost everyone was carrying flowers. And there were tons of flowers in the back of the church. What kind of church was this? As we settled in, Reverend Dina stepped into the pulpit, and I will always remember her introduction, because it was her words that changed a random morning at a church into the first step into my new religion. "Good morning," Reverend Dina said, "and welcome to Flower Communion, our Unitarian Universalist ritual celebration for the last service of our church year. Today, we bring flowers to church. Our children will collect them, mix them all up, and you'll be invited to come receive a new bundle of flowers. If you did not bring flowers, please join us. We always have extras, and we would love to give them to you. And remember, sometimes it is more important to receive than it is to give." That moment of welcoming those who were empty-handed was the start of my falling in love with our faith. So much of my existence was based on proving myself and earning my keep. I wanted to always be the person who had something to give, because if I had nothing to give, what was I good for? But sometimes we don't have anything to give, or we don't have what we want to give or what others are looking for us to give them. Maybe we don't have the physical resources or the time or the emotional energy. And when we feel empty-handed, it is not a good feeling. On November 6th, 2024, I woke up and my body was full of dread before I even looked at my phone to confirm the election results. I felt terror move through my body and make a home in my chest. Then I thought about my work as a hospital chaplain and my responsibility to provide care to our community, and I didn't want to get out of bed. I dressed in black, no accessories. I started my walk to work, all the while getting texts asking what we were going to do for the hospital. What about Arlington Street? What about those most vulnerable among us? Every question, every person I wondered about made my chest hurt more. Grief had its hold on me. Panic had its hold on me. And helplessness had its hold on me. How could I help them? How could I face them? What could I give? And what if I couldn't give anything? Then I got the first message, not with an ask or a need, but an offer. It was from Reverend Beth. "Hi, my love," it read. "How are you doing? I'm here if you want to talk or go on a walk. I love you, and I'm here for you." It was like forgetting my flowers and being handed the most beautiful bouquet. And suddenly, my empty hands and empty heart didn't feel so empty. They were filled with Beth's beautiful generosity and love, which I carried with me as I faced the day, helping others who started their day feeling empty-handed too. Are any of you feeling empty? Or maybe you're feeling like barren ground? Some of my most nourishing moments have happened when I thought I was coming empty-handed, but those hands were waiting for flowers. Inspiration from Reverend Dina, love from Reverend Beth. Because we have each other, we are never truly empty-handed. That UU church in Milwaukee became my first UU church. I attended three more flower communion services there and learned that their tradition is to sing Bette Midler's The Rose each year, which ends with these words. "When the night has been too lonely, and the road has been too long, and you think that love is only for the lucky and the strong, just remember in the winter, far beneath the bitter snows, lies the seed that with the sun's love in the spring becomes the rose." We don't just hand each other flowers. When we give each other our care, our wisdom, our time, our encouragement, our love, we bring light to the buried seeds. We help beauty and goodness grow in each other, and that continues on and on and on. We are a part of each other. We are never empty-handed. When you find yourself in lonely nights, may loving sunlight come to you. When you show up with empty hands, may you be handed beautiful flowers. May something beautiful fill the empty spaces. May something beautiful grow in the coming season. May we remember we are never truly empty-handed.
Let us take a deep, centering breath together. If you're feeling a bit overwhelmed, it's only natural. It's been a challenging year. Beyond our shores, War continues to rage in Ukraine and Gaza. Here, in the land of the free, immigrants and foreign students are being rounded up by masked ICE officers. Our cherished democratic institutions, established as bulwarks against autocracy, are under assault. How could we not be affected? This year at Arlington Street, we have experienced the loss of many beloved members and companions. Don Richter, Doc Kinney, Ariel Distel, Art Oxnard, Frank Mangan, Kerry Marshall, Philip Kane, Lorinda O'Connor, and most recently, Art Judge. Presente. May your spirits continue to companion us and to guide us. After 35 years of settled ministry with Reverend Kim, we mark the end of our first year of transitional ministry with Reverend Parisa, and we prepare to say farewell to Reverend Beth. It's been a lot. As we navigate change and challenge, both within and beyond these walls, we are grateful for the support and guidance of our ministers, grateful for our staff, grateful for our lay leadership, grateful for the musicians in the choir, and grateful for the many volunteers who make it all possible every week, the greeters, the coffee hour hosts, the ushers, the pastoral care team, the tech team, the gala committee, the covenant renewal team, and all those volunteers who decorate this historic sanctuary. The elves for Christmas and the fairies for Pride. Deep bows of gratitude to you all. To quote Dorothy Gale, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And no matter how difficult the winter, spring with its flowers and green leaves always comes. Like this flower here, still they bloom. To quote poet laureate Ada Limón, more than the fuchsia funnels breaking out of the crabapple tree, more than the neighbor's almost obscene display of cherry limbs shoving their cotton candy colored blossoms to the slate sky of spring rains, it's the greening of the trees that really gets to me. As individuals, and as a community of faith, we are called to move through the seasons of change with grace and to make meaning of what we are experiencing along the way. Over the years, we've heard much wisdom from this very pulpit about how to go about this. Here from the past are just a few reminders. One. The only constant in life is change. Heraclitus. Form is impermanent. Feeling is impermanent. Perception is impermanent. Mental formations are impermanent. And consciousness is impermanent. The Buddha. Three, don't let everything you've ever let go of have claw marks in it. David Foster Wallace. The key is to keep company only with the people who uplift you, whose presence calls forth your best. Epictetus. Let loving kindness inform all our thoughts, all our decisions and all our actions. 5. Remember, at any given time, everyone is doing the best that they can. 6. Ask not why this is happening to me, but rather, what can I learn from this? When we wonder how we're ever going to get through whatever fear, disappointment, or sadness we're working through, rely on faith. 7. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of that which we do not see. 8. There are no goodbyes. Only see you next time. Finally, let us be open to the possibilities of miracles in our lives, in our times. Ram Dass begins his book, How Can I Help?, with the story of a scuba diver in distress, alone, 40 feet underwater, sinking to the bottom and almost out of oxygen. He writes, I thought, I can't go like this. I have things to do. I called out in my mind, somebody, something, help me. Suddenly, I felt a prodding from behind me, under my armpit. I thought, oh no, sharks. I felt real terror and despair, but my arm was being forcibly lifted. Around into my field of vision came an eye, the most marvelous eye I could ever imagine. I swear it was smiling. It was the eye of a big dolphin. Looking into that eye, I knew I was safe. I relaxed, hugging it, flooded with relief. My stomach cramp went away as we ascended. At the surface, it drew me all the way to the shore. It took me into water so shallow that I began to be concerned for it, that it would be beached. And I pushed it back a little deeper, where it waited, watching me, I guess to see if I was all right. When I took off my weight belt and oxygen, I just took everything off and went naked back out into the ocean with the dolphin. I felt so light and so free and so alive and just wanted to play in the sun and the water. And the dolphin took me back out and played in the water with me. I noticed that there were a lot of dolphins there, farther out. After a while, it brought me back to shore. I was very tired then, almost collapsing, and he made sure that I was safe in the shallowest part of the water. Then he turned sideways, with one eye looking into mine. We stayed that way for what seemed a very long time. Timeless, I guess. Almost in a trance. Then he made just one sound and went out to join the others. And they all left. My beloved spiritual companions, let us be mindful of the miracle that binds us together, each to the other. I'll end with a blessing. Beth, come up here next to me. Beth, with this flower, I bless your feet. Hmm. That they may run this race. I bless your legs, that you may dance with joy. I bless your hands, that many may know your acts of kindness. I bless your arms, that many may know your hugs. I bless your shoulders, that they may bear up to the burdens of ministry. I bless your smile, that many may be comforted. I bless all around you, that you may always be filled with loving kindness. And finally, I bless your heart, broken open with love. This is for you.
And now for our benediction, I invite you to put your hands over your heart in namaste. I bow to the divine in you. The words of our benediction come from American poet E.E. Cummings. I carry your heart with me. I carry it in my heart. I am never without it. Anywhere I go, you go, my dears. And whatever is done only by me is your doing, my darlings. I fear no fate, for you are my fate, my sweet. Whatever a moon has always meant, and whatever a sun will always sing is you. Here is the deepest secret nobody knows. Here is the root of the root and the bud of the bud and the sky of the sky of a tree called life, which grows higher than soul can hope or mind can hide. This is the wonder that's keeping the stars apart. I carry your heart. I carry it in my heart. Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Bless your hearts. I will always love you. Amen.
We love you too.
I invite you now to be seated for the choral benediction.
Oh.
please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.